This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. A look into America today and how a possibly small dispute over cheap food and the billions of profits it has produced may be shaping up as an epic battle for the soul of the U.S. economy. Steady profits and a living wage? Steady profits or a living wage? What is the American mission of economic justice and progress and just plain success today? Fast food, of course, is as American as apple pie, which, by the way, apple pie is hard to get at your Taco Bell, Wendy's, Pizza Hut. McDonald's has this deep-fried apple burrito thing they call a pie. What is even more American, perhaps, than fast food, though, are low-wage service jobs in an economy that has completely transformed from the days when apple pie was a symbol of anything in America. Can those service workers collectively mobilize their economic clout the way unions mobilized manufacturing labor a century ago? Well, in some sectors, yes. We already know the answer to that, but the real battle may be taking place right now. Fast food workers are striking in 100 cities across America, demanding $15 an hour, up from their average of just above the minimum wage. Has the time come for collective bargaining over how much folks should be paid to make Big Macs, burritos, and Wendy's fish sandwiches? Joining me now is Angelo Amador, Vice President of Workforce and Labor Policy at the National Restaurant Association. Angelo, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the invitation.
Let me just say, fast food workers don't get tips. Do they really have an argument that maybe their wages should be boosted in comparison with other restaurant workers?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of positions in the fast food industry, and there's a lot of career movement. 9 out of 10 employees that are managers now started as hourly employees. So it depends on what position you're talking about. The positions pay depending on qualifications and, how hard the job is.
Is $15 an hour a onerous demand on the part of these workers?
Well, it depends for what position. Again, we have to look at the profits per employee that the industry have are very low. So it is very possible that, an employee may need to make more money, but, they might need to get a promotion or get into another career path. But, it depends on a number of things.
Now, I mean, this is kind of an unfair question, but I know you're going to expect it here. I mean, do you think you could make ends meet on, $8 an hour?
Well, I started a minimum wage, and at the time it was $3.85. So I knew at the time that it was going to go up, and I knew that I was living with my parents, and I was going to school, and all I needed was a part-time job to be able to have some extra cash. And that's still the case in most cases in the fast food industry. A lot of these part-time workers, those that are making minimum wage, are young. Not all of them, but, the vast majority, the average household income of people on minimum wage is $62,000. And the only reason for that is that most of them are still very young people living with their parents or in college.
But you have to know that since this recession, there are people working in fast food who are heads of households, who are having to live with parents and grandparents to make ends meet.
I understand that, and I feel for those people. But at the same time, there's no industry where you get paid depending on the needs of the individual. You get paid depending on the job.
A sizable percentage of people in the fast food industry qualify for federal food stamp assistance. You're aware of that, right?
I know some of them do, yes.
Doesn't that constitute a subsidy for the restaurant industry, for the fast food industry, a federal taxpayer subsidy that allows you to keep wages low?
I don't even see the correlation between one and the other. 71% of the people that are working in the restaurant industry live way beyond the poverty line. We understand that 25% do not, but that's help that are being given to people in need, and I don't think it should be eliminated, but that's not for me to decide.
But don't you think it would be at least a good faith gesture to pay a wage to all workers in the fast food industry so that they wouldn't qualify for food stamps, so that taxpayers wouldn't have to essentially bail out the consequences of these low-wage jobs?
Well, again, you're assuming that the job would still be there depending, regardless of how much is paid, and that's not accurate. You cannot pay for workers more than you're bringing in. It's just basic economics. So is it better to have this person unemployed? Is it better to have an individual in college not be able to have access to a job because the pay required by the government is too high. But doesn't make sense to me, but if it makes sense to you, that's fine.
Well, there's always an argument that if we raise wages in the restaurant industry, that the jobs are going to go away. What I don't hear is if we raise wages in the industry, the $7 billion in profits are going to go away. That's not going to go away. If you lay off workers, the profits are going to still be there.
Not necessarily. Not for the small business owner that has to close. I mean, when we look at the restaurant industry, 9 out of 10 restaurants are either independent or franchisees, which means people talk about these big corporations, but in reality, most restaurants are individuals, you know, independent family-owned businesses. So it doesn't correlate that, you know, okay, you have a big company that is making money as a franchisor that the restaurant will stay open.
Finally, Angela, do you get a bonus every year?
Not every year. I wish I did. But
do fast food workers deserve a profit share bonus?
A profit share? I do not get a profit share bonus. But that would be nice. That would be nice. I mean, we would all like to get more, you know, and no matter, I'm sure you would like to get more. But, you know, every business is different, and you need to be able to see what they can afford, and they need to make those business decisions.
Angela Amador, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Angela Amador is Vice President of Workforce and Labor Policy at the National Restaurant Association. We talked to two of the workers and strikers who are confronting the fast food industry earlier today. We heard their demands and heard their economic situation as well. Nquasia LeGrand is a cashier at KFC, and Eduardo Choi is a delivery man for KFC and Pizza Hut, as well as a forklift operator at JFK Airport.
We expect something better, you know, for them to come at least close, give us something, because the way it is, it's not.
What would $15 an hour allow you to do that you couldn't do today?
Well, allow you to keep one job.
Is that right? So you'd be able to leave your second job?
Exactly.
Nquasia, how about you?
It would actually, you know, live on my own. Actually try to have something that I could call mine and still be able to help my family at the same time.
So $15 an hour is what you're demanding. What's your wage now?
My wage now that I'm making $7.70.
And that's just over federal minimum wage, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, what do you consider economic justice? Should a job at a KFC or a McDonald's or a Wendy's allow you to, you know, raise a family? Or are these just jobs for teenagers, for temporary workers?
No, this is not. It's not how like it was back before. Yeah, back before you could have said these jobs was full of teenage jobs, but now some of these jobs don't even want to hire teenagers because some teenagers can't clothe. They have to work certain hours because they are in high school. So these jobs are full with kids that not even kids, with grown people between the ages 20 and up. And most of us probably have kids. And right now, these jobs like McDonald's and Burger King and et cetera are seeming like the only job that are hiring right now in the economy. And for them to be making over billions in dollars, we deserve the $15 an hour.
What's your monthly net, Nquasia?
My monthly net is probably, wow, I want to say maybe three, four.
400?
Yes.
Eduardo, how about you? What's your monthly net on the KFC Pizza Hut job?
$1,300.
Yeah. In New York City?
In New York City.
What about benefits?
None.
None?
None whatsoever.
Nquasia?
None.
So what would settle this tomorrow? $15 an hour is... you know, part of the solution, but not the whole solution, right?
I mean, that's like the majority of the solution, but at the same time, it's just the respect as hard workers that we are and the dignity we missing that at the work at our workplace.
Do you work for a company or do you work for a franchise owner?
I work for a franchise owner.
Now, he or she, they're small business owners. They can only do so much. What do they say when you ask for a higher wage?
We're not fighting with our franchise owner. We're going to corporation. We're hitting the guys up top, not not the franchise owners, not our managers. We're going straight up to the top.
What do you say to the charge that the strike is not really workers like you? It's mostly activists. It's a bunch of union organizers and people who have an interest in trying to organize you. Eduardo?
It's about us. Believe me, it's about us. If you go to the store and you ask the people inside, the people that are afraid to speak up because they're afraid to lose their job. That's why I decided to come and speak up because I'm not afraid. At this stage of the game, I can't be afraid to speak up. So it's all about us. I'm like their voice, especially in my store.
Nequasia, how about you?
I mean, from somebody who's been with this movement from day one, when it started in New York City on November 29, 2012, it was only 127 workers. Now, each and every day, I'm seeing new, more faces, people coming out, standing up, and look, it's going nationwide.
Now, have any of your employers at any of these fast food places ever suggested that, you know, if you can't afford to live off the wages we pay, that you should investigate maybe getting food stamps, Eduardo?
No.
And employers never suggested that?
Never suggested that.
Do you qualify for food stamps?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Because of your second job?
Because of my second job.
How about you, Nequasia? Has any employer ever suggested?
My employer actually told me maybe I need to get a second job. And I actually did get a second job. I did work in another KFC a few months ago in Queens. But it was actually shut down because it wasn't making no money.
What do you think of when you hear the term economic inequality? And that during the Obama years, the 8 years of Barack Obama, the income inequality in America has actually grown wider. How does that make you feel, Nequasia?
Well, it makes me feel bad. It's disgusting because it shouldn't have to be like that. Not especially with hardworking people who's out here working.
Eduardo?
It's getting worse and worse.
So is that this president's legacy?
Well, it go back before him. That's my opinion. He was left something that was already messed up. And when he got there, you couldn't fix it overnight.
He can't do it by himself. That's why we the people, he could only do so much that he could do. But at the same time, what I feel we the people, we have to come together and stand up and open our mouths. And we have to be heard to get something done. Because if we just stand back and not say nothing, they just going to think that we comfortable with that. And we're not.
How long are you going to stay out?
As long as it takes.
Nequasia?
Whatever it takes.
All right. Well, the best of luck to you. Nequasia LeGrand is a KFC worker who was one of the first 200 fast food strikers here in the New York area. Eduardo Choi is a delivery man for KFC and Pizza Hut. He also has a second job at JFK Airport. He's also on strike. Eduardo and Nequasia, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.